If you are looking to meander your way through the quilting world in a way that brings you creative inspiration and takes you on a learning path to create your own quilting style from first stitch to finish, then you will love this episode. Today, I'll have a chat with Shannon Brinkley. Hello, and welcome to the Quilter on Fire podcast, where I explore the stories, the connections, and the joy of guests in the quilting world. I'm your host, Brandi Maslowski, the Quilter on Fire, and I can't wait to share this week's episode with you. So here we go. My guest today is Shannon Brinkley. She is an American quilt and fabric designer, author, and national speaker and teacher. She is known for her scrappy applique technique, which uses scrappy bits of applique, of course, to make modern art quilts. She is the founder of the Meander Quilt Guild, a community for education and growth, the Patrick Program training quilters to become successful quiltpreneurs and turn their craft into a career. And today, you'll find out there's so much more where that came from. So let's explore the story of Shannon Brinkley. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, this is going to be so fun. Now, I always love to start by taking a little look back at where you got started. So when do you first remember putting stitch to fabric?
My first memories of working with fabric was with my grandmother, my mother's mother, Grandma Madotti. And I remember her pulling out her old Singer. And I think I wanted to make, I was in middle school. I think I wanted to make pajama pants or something like that. And she pulled out her old Singer. She taught me about seam allowances, threading the machine, all of the things. And so began really making things, sewing from there. And then in college, I actually went to the International Quilt Festival in Houston with my mother. I don't even remember why we went, because neither of us were interested in quilting. My mom was a cross stitcher, but we went, and I remember just walking through the aisles with my jaw dropped. And then there was this one quilt in particular that I came upon, and just, I stood there for probably 20 minutes. I'm sure my mom was getting irritated and walking around down the other aisles, but I just was staring at and just completely entranced by the texture, the movement, the color. I would later learn that it was a raw edge applique collage style quilt of this scene of a garden with this stream running through it. And that was just the moment that I fell in love with quilting and felt just such a surge of excitement for the potential of what I could do with fabric.
Yeah. And so it's so nice to hear that you had family surrounding you with your early creativity. And then that big event, that really foreshadows what you're doing today, right? That very first quilt that you saw that you fell in love with. So tell us about how this led you to your first quilt.
I'm a self-taught quilter. And so I'm the type of person who doesn't read instruction manuals or anything like that. I like to just kind of jump in and get my hands dirty and then maybe learn the right way to do it and figure out if I want to do it that way or the way that I've kind of figured out how to do it. So I just dove in and started experimenting. I knew that I could use this thing called fusible web to try to achieve what I was trying to do. And so I just played with collaging fabric, and really out of that kind of play and experimentation, then later grew the style that we now call scrappy applique. But then it was after I kind of like played that I then learned, okay, I need to read a book or take a course and figure out how to actually properly bind a quilt and like how to do some of these technical things that I couldn't figure out on my own. So, but it definitely started off with just kind of play.
Yeah. And so was your very first quilt, do you remember that? Was it more of a combination of techniques, learning how to quilt? Was your first quilt actually scrappy applique?
Actually, the first quilt was for a project for my children's literature class. I was studying elementary education, and we were assigned to create a timeline of children's literature. And for some reason that I can't remember, I decided I wanted to then do a quilted timeline. It must have been shortly after my visit to the festival. And so it was just patches, and I, you know, made it all up myself. And then so it was just squares And I did a design transfer, fabric transfer printer thing to then do the book covers and then stitched with a thread to make the timeline. So that was then the first quilt. And then the second one was then kind of starting to play with applique, and but it also included piecing. And then probably starting with my third, it was then early stages of what would be scrappy applique.
Yeah. So it sounds like you went into a formal education to become a teacher. So did you make a transition from that career into your quilting business?
Yeah. Yeah. I was teaching third grade and was making quilts on the side. I actually opened up an Etsy shop back in 2012, just selling the quilts, which I made no money doing, but it then helped me to really grow and develop the style. And so I looked around and didn't really see anyone making quilts in the way that I was at the time. And so I just on a whim thought, maybe I'll try to write a book. And I looked around. It was probably good that I just had no idea what I was doing, because I was just more audacious maybe than I would have been otherwise. I started looking around and found a publisher that I really liked, reached out to their acquisitions editor and shared some photos, and we just went from there. And then the book came out. And so then I transitioned away from then teaching 8-year-olds to then teaching quilting and traveling around the country. And it felt very natural for me to then be teaching people then how to do this thing that I was enjoying, because teaching is just in my bones. That same grandmother who taught me to sew was a teacher herself.
Yeah. So you have teaching at your core. And let's just dive a little further into that book, because that's really exciting. So what was the title of the book? What would we find in the pages? And what did it feel like to have it in your hands for the first time?
The title of the book was Scrappy Bits Appliqué, and it came out in 2014. And it takes you through the technique of scrappy applique, and then has some projects. But I mean, I remember opening up the box for the first time on the front porch, I think because it was heavy and I was too impatient to like lug it inside or wait for my husband, and just opening it up and tears, just feeling this thing that was then done. It took forever and so much work to put it together, but then it was done. And it was this beautiful thing that was the finished product was then so much more beautiful than anything that I could have done on my own, because of the whole team working together. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. It's so much work, I would imagine, to put a book together. And how did you decide what goes on the cover? Is it just, okay, this one just happened to turn out the best?
It wasn't me, thankfully, because who knows what I would have chosen? I don't know. But they chose then this beautiful tree quilt that I made. And so a lot of the design choices at that phase, because I was brand new, I think now if I was working with a publisher again, I would probably want to have a lot more say, because I have a good understanding of my branding and all of the different things. But at that point, I just said, okay, whatever you guys think. Yeah. And it worked out really beautifully.
Yeah, that's so great. Okay, so you made this transition. You said it felt natural from teaching to quilting and having a quilty business. So what were the early beginnings of your business?
It started then with my book, funnily enough. A lot of people don't start their businesses with a book, but it was just because of that just moment of audacity. And so it started with the book. And so I remember reaching out to Angela Walters and in the very early days and introducing myself very nervously. And she, at that time, she was offering some mentor sessions for people who were interested in kind of getting into the quilt world. And so we met on, I think it was probably Skype at the time. And she had the wonderful advice. She was so just generous and lovely at every point. And she had the wonderful advice to just start reaching out to quilt guilds, because there are quilt guilds just everywhere and they're looking for programming. And so this is the same advice that I pass on to people that I work with now who are looking to start their business. Just start reaching out to guilds, introduce yourself, say what you have to offer. And so that's what I did. I started reaching out. I made quilt patterns and had some patterns printed, did this whole Kickstarter campaign to fund the printing of the patterns, reached out to quilt guilds, and just started traveling and teaching and just worked my buns off in those early days.
Yeah, so great. And then, okay, of course, so then you're going to ease into family kind mm-hmm. of things. So was there a point in time where you started to realize, okay, I just can't be on the road all the time. I have to make this a business that's going to work with my lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah. It got to the point where it was a good problem to have. I was getting more emails, more requests. I think at that point, I then had somebody helping me manage the inbox and things like that. We were getting more requests for me to go teach than what I could actually accomplish. I knew I wanted to grow and scale things online. I saw the online world and digital patterns, online courses, things like that really growing. And I knew that that was going to be infinitely more scalable than just me showing up in a bunch of different churches around the country, you know, to teach. And so, yeah, began growing and scaling that and focusing on creative ways to share what I was wanting to teach.
Yeah, so fun. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey in quilting? You've really, really got a great niche with scrappy applique, but you've gone from those original scrappy applique designs to your latest that we're going to talk about a little bit later with the dogs and everything that's going on. But how has your quilting blossomed over time?
I think that it would be the same as with any artist. You start off by kind of looking and finding things that you want to replicate. And then you kind of then find, oh, okay, well, I'm figuring out, I'm getting more fluent in how to design something in the look that I'm really drawn to. I really brought in a few different mediums that I loved. So collaging, I had been collaging since I was in high school, collaging paper, did decoupage, you know, all of those things. And so then that collaging them in fabric really felt very obvious to me. And then also I loved the look of an interesting silhouette filled with a pattern. So I was then really inspired by graphic design and different things like, and so seeing typeface or different silhouettes then filled with a pattern just did something to my heart. And so then just following that is, you know, kind of what grew with scrappy applique. And then it was interesting. I got to a point after having the business for several years where I was just in this creative rut. And I was like, I don't even want to talk about quilting anymore. Like I'm just feeling completely drained and exhausted. I'm sure I was working way too much. And so I have a creative practice of following my curiosity. This is something that I learned from Elizabeth Gilbert, author of Big Magic. And I had just started kind of seeing maybe online or seeing in articles or books, people dyeing fabric with plants. And I was just getting really, it just sparked my curiosity. So I allowed myself to just go down that rabbit hole with no end result in mind, with no plan of turning, you know, incorporating it into the business or anything, but just kind of allowed myself that creative freedom. And so that was a rabbit hole that has just been so deeply rewarding and fun. And it helped me to connect with my materials in such a deeper way than I had before, actually taking just, you know, white fabric and plants that I'm growing in my garden and then turning that into an actual quilt. So for a while, it was just dyeing a bunch of stuff. And then now it's then turning into actually now dyeing with the things or quilting with the things that I've been dyeing. And so that has been really an evolution in a really like heart-centered way of working. And then the quilts I'm most excited about are the ones that are in my head currently, the ones that aren't in the 3D world yet. But yeah, I have this whole new body of work that's emerging that I'm really just excited about.
Yeah. If you're listening right now and you're thinking, oh, I want to learn a little bit more about Shannon's journey with natural dyeing fabric, you can go onto her website at shannon-brinkley.com and you can check out her latest blog post. It's all about the natural dyeing. So be sure to go and check that out as well. Okay, so I want to take a little step out of the story for a second, and I want to ask you, where are you living now and who are your loved ones that you share your world with every day?
Yeah, I live in Leesburg, Virginia, and with my husband, Matt, and our sweet 16-month-old son, Jack.
Oh, how sweet.
And our pup, Maggie.
Maggie. Oh, what kind of pup is she?
She's a blue heeler.
Oh, how cute. Okay, well, let's get back into the conversation about design, because you have hundreds of patterns available. And when you see something in the world that sparks an idea, how do you capture that? Are you pencil to paper or do you go direct to digital?
So first, I mean, if it's something out that I want to, I'll probably take a picture, and I do a lot digitally. So I'll have, you know, a Pinterest board, I'll take photos, but then there's something about, and it's probably just then growing up not completely in the internet age. I think we got the internet when I was in, you know, middle school or something. And so didn't learn, go into school and learn the way kids are learning now. And so it's like part of my brain needs to be digital, and then part of it needs, my hands need to be touching it. And so plenty of the time I'll print things off and create a, you know, kind of physical mood board. So it's kind of a combination.
Yeah, and that's a really good idea about the Pinterest board. That's not a common answer for this question. And you can actually just draw photos in from everywhere, create an entire board. And if you want it to be your own little secret, you can always lock that up, right? You don't have to show the world. So that's a great tip. So where do you pull your color inspiration from?
Oh, everywhere. I mean, so I like to just walk through the world with my eyes wide open and just know that there is inspiration absolutely everywhere for me to just bathe in. And so it can be just walking down the street. I, the other day, was walking or took my pup outside and looked over at one of the neighboring houses that I normally can't see during the year, but because it's the winter right now, and so the leaves had fallen and I could actually see it really clearly. And I saw then this red brick and this green trim, and just had to go snap a photo. And just, so inspiration is just all over, in a sunset, in clothing, in a garden, just all over.
Yeah. And your Instagram feed is so beautiful. So what do you think it is about your designs that really resonates with quilters?
What I hear is that it seems really doable and approachable, and it looks a lot more complex than it actually is. And because I like to create really simple, streamlined techniques that look harder than they actually are, but have a lot of texture and just kind of a strong visual pop with, you know, a strong, interesting silhouette.
Yeah. So let's dive into the business a little bit. So what do you bring to the world with your business in a nutshell?
That's such a good question. What do I bring to the world? My desire and devotion is to help people connect with the artist that is living inside of them, and to do that via this medium that we love, quilting.
Yeah, that is so great. And you have all kinds of services we're going to dive into after the break. You have courses and all kinds of fun stuff. When you're talking about every person has an inner artist, tell us why that's really important to you. You know, why is that such a firm belief for you that everyone has that within them?
I think it actually comes from teaching. And so working with these kids, every single kid in my class was creative. Every single one of them was a little artist in their own way. They all had very different ways of expressing it, very different talents and skills, but every single one of them was a little artist. And I don't think that that's something that's hard for us to grasp. I think that most of us could agree that yes, every child is creative. But then what does that tell us about adults? Yeah. That tells us that every single adult is and can be creative. I think early on in our life, some of us were then, that was encouraged and that was allowed to really thrive and grow. And then some people, though, I hear so many stories of people sharing in their art class or otherwise, you know, the teacher telling them that the sky shouldn't be red or that, oh, well, they're not really an artist. Let's focus on math. That person over there is the creator. And so people just have these ideas of what an artist even is. And it feels way too audacious to then claim that for yourself. And that's not me. That's them over there. And so, yeah, it's this strong passion soapbox that I have here.
Yeah. And it's so great because so many of us just feel like, you know, I hear it all the time in the quilting world that shows and everywhere I go that people are standing in front of a quilt and they just go, oh, I could never do that. Or they think, mm-hmm. oh, I'm just not that creative. But really they are. They just kind of forgot yeah. about the fact that they are and they're not doing it. No. So
creativity is a muscle that for a lot of people, yeah. maybe it's atrophied, but it can totally be worked again.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, I mean, 90% of it is just confidence.
Yeah.
Is to just have the confidence to just give something a go. And sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's going to look terrible. And that's okay. It's all part of it.
Yeah. It's all good. Okay. So let's dive into your patterns. So you have so many wonderful patterns on your website. So tell us about some of the patterns. Where did you start off? How did they change over time? What are the most popular ones?
Yeah. So like I said, I love working with silhouettes. And so we have a ton of animal patterns and I'm always nature and travel is a huge inspiration. So we have a bunch of different animal patterns that are a lot of fun and skylines we did a whole big collection where we have, over 150 different skylines from all around the world. That was a lot of fun. Those are definitely popular. Some of the animals, some of the big, there's like Sasha and Amaya. There's the zebra and the tiger quilts are really popular ones because they're just like big, bold, and plays with the negative spaces. But between the stripes is basically the background fabric. So the applique pieces are just the stripes and some other details, which was fun.
Yeah.
But then the globe quilt, I really love that recent moth quilt. Yeah.
So beautiful. Well, I love perusing through the patterns. And if you're listening right now and you want to go check them out, again, it's shannon-brinkley.com. Just click on patterns. You will see all kinds of variety. There's animals, there's maps, there's a list if you want to just see the most popular ones. There's even a sewing machine there, which is really cool. And the skylines are gorgeous. So let's just dive into that for a second. So the skylines are they all big American cities or where are...
There's a lot of big American cities, but then there's also all over Europe. We have, and all around the world, we have cities from kind of all over and we're expanding. Maybe we'll do another collection at some point too, but we have a lot of international ones as well.
Okay. Was there a pattern that you kind of put out there and you thought, oh, I think this should do good, but then it was just like, boom, this kind of exploded. Was there one that really just did well and surprised you?
Probably the skylines. Yeah. So we released the skylines just as a whole collection, not one at a time, because that would have taken forever. So we just did a big collection and yeah, that one, it really took off and that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Okay. And community is really huge for you. You have your membership, but tell me why community is such a big deal.
I think that being around other people who are obsessed with the same thing that you're obsessed with is just a joy and a pleasure and helps you to not feel alone, helps you to feel recognized and seen. And also it helps to really build a sense of confidence in your craftsmanship and artistry and the value of what we have to offer. Because I think a lot of times, maybe our family members or our friends will say like, oh, you quilt, that's so cute, that's so sweet. Maybe not totally understanding all that goes into it, the craftsmanship that's required, the years and years and years to really develop that, to develop mastery in this. And so being around other people who see that, recognize that, and then can celebrate you playing and experimenting and trying something new that you can get inspired by, I think is just invaluable.
Yeah. I recommend that you go over to Shannon's website and you check out her blog because she has things like how she organizes her tools, how she developed her signature style, and of course, like the latest one I mentioned, natural dyeing. So let's get back to the newsletter. So you put out a newsletter once in a while. So what will we find there if we sign up for your newsletter?
We share inspiration. There, we have lots of different free classes that we offer that we share about. I teach a lot about color, about applique, about natural dyeing. I teach a bunch of different applique and quilting styles. You'll hear about kind of what's going on in our different communities, what we have going coming up. So yeah, it's just fun and inspiring and nice little bite-sized bits of something pretty to look at.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to really dive into the Meander Quilt Guild after the break, but I want to talk about, I want to go back to the story and talk about those early times in your biz. So you started off teaching and you had patterns and you're traveling and then you made a shift. So tell us about the teacher program.
Yeah. So when, you know, when we got to that point where we were getting more requests for me to come teach than I was able to offer, I was also working with other quilt entrepreneurs at the same time in a different program and was hearing, you know, I want to start a business. I want to, you know, grow something, but then I don't have my own thing. I don't have my own technique. I don't really know what I would teach. And I was like, well, how about you teach scrappy applique? How about you teach this color curriculum that I've developed? And my husband also, his background is in, he was working for this company in learning development and they licensed IP and had, they then trained people who then were able to go and work with corporations. And so he then brought that background of licensing IP and developing a program to really help train people in that IP, the intellectual property. And then I brought this magical fun curriculum and all of the teaching acumen and brought that together for a teacher certification program. And so then we started training people in our scrappy applique, color confidence. And now we have our portrait quilting and imbue trademarked curriculum. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So great. When you run out of time in the day to teach everyone everything, then you have to teach the teacher, right?
Absolutely. And that's just been such a joy too, to really watch these teachers gain in confidence and in their skills and their abilities, and then really put their own twists on this thing that I made initially that's now bigger than just me. So yeah, it's been really special.
Yeah, so great. Now I'm really excited after the break to talk about some of the new things that are coming up in the Shannon Brinkley world. But let's talk about this big program you've offered year after year. It's a business program called Patchwork. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So Patchwork, we have been working with quilt entrepreneurs from around the world in how to grow their own business. And we are going to be folding that program likely into a new offering that we'll be announcing shortly. But just working with fellow creatives. And I mean, I found early on in growing my business, and especially once I started really gaining success, gaining momentum, I was looking outside of the quilt industry for models on how to structure a business and different types of revenue streams, because I reached a point in the business when I was just traveling and exhausted and didn't have the revenue to show for it, because I was modeling my business after the traditional business models, which was create a quilt pattern and, you know, go to a quilt market and have a booth and do that whole thing. And then maybe have a book, maybe have a fabric collection. And I did all of that. And I had a Norfolk thread collection and I did all the things, and but did not have the revenue to show for it. I tell the story about like this kitchen floor moment where I went out to go get in the car and the car wouldn't start. Like I just exhibited at Quilt Market and had a book out, had all the ticks, the check marks of what should show success, but then our car wouldn't start and there was no money in the bank account to go get it repaired. And so I just fell to the kitchen floor just weeping and thinking there has to be, you know, a smarter way of structuring things. And so then that's when I was dedicated to learn as much as I possibly could about business and growing a business and figuring out a business model that was going to work better than what I was doing at the point. And so then that's why I developed Patchwork, the teacher certification program, and all of these things, because I saw so many other creatives in our industry just doing the same thing and not knowing that there's so much more opportunity out there.
Yeah. And so if you're interested in that kind of thing, be sure to get on the newsletter so you can see how this new program is going to develop in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there a quilt or quilt project that's been most memorable for you along the way?
Perhaps the, I could list a bunch, but the one that comes to my mind is the one of my, I did a portrait quilt, or actually a series of portrait quilts of my grandmother, my grandmama Dottie, who I've already spoken about. And it was a photo from when she was getting married and just looked beautiful. And so I did it in multiple different iterations, some with just all solids and some with some prints in it as well, and then played around with couching and different things like that. And so that was then the first portrait quilt that I made, which is then our new certified teacher curriculum, and the portrait quilting workshop is inside of our community. But that was really special because then I was able to, she passed away in 2018, and it was maybe 2019 or 2020 maybe that I made that quilt. And so that was really sweet. And I have plans for another one that I want to make honoring her as well.
Yeah, so sweet. So in your creative practice, what brings you joy?
So many things. I mean, all of it. I loved dyeing fabric. It's just like this weird, fun mixture of, it feels like this kind of combination of chemistry and magic and cooking and witchcraft. And I just love it. I love just sitting over my big pot of steaming flowers and, you know, throwing fabric into it. It's just the best. So that brings me a ton of joy. Coming up with ideas and then seeing them materialize is just feels like magic as well. And I love just playing with texture. I love combining different techniques. That's really fun and exciting for me, combining different substrates. And then, I mean, sharing and teaching that with others is just the best. I just love teaching. And I really, the days when I'm able to then teach live or in person or whatever is just, those are some of my favorites.
Okay. So right now we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk all about Shannon's studio space, some of the wonderful things that she offers right now, what her jam really is in quilting, and what's coming soon. We'll be right back. Attention quilt business owners, elevate your brand with the Quilter on Fire podcast. We've been hitting milestones back to back, like 150 episodes and 5,000 consistent downloads per week. And we just broke 500,000 downloads for all time. Maximize your ROI by choosing a podcast ad that offers lasting impact. Our ads remain evergreen, reaching dedicated quilters, and your ad stays up for the life of the episode. Promote your quilty business, event, or workshop to thousands of engaged listeners. Email Brandy at quilteronfire.com to make your mark in the quilting community today. Quilter on Fire is now on YouTube. I started up all new content at the end of 2023, and I've been having so much fun. From tutorials to unboxings and amazing interviews with quilters and artists at big shows like the International Quilt Festival Houston and QuiltCon, you'll find all kinds of quilty goodness. If you love this podcast, please go subscribe to Quilter on Fire on YouTube today. And we are back with Shannon Brinkley. Shannon, tell us about your own personal studio space.
Right now, we are in a Victorian building. It was built in 1850, and it is a three-story Victorian building right downtown in Leesburg. It's just a dream. I'm sitting currently in front of a gorgeous giant bay window, like Florida ceiling bay windows. So the lighting in here is just awesome and molding galore, and it's just a delight. And so my dry studio is here. I have a long arm behind me. And then past that is then my wet studio, which is a small room with a little washer and some shelving and lots of built-in cabinets and a kitchen where I do all of my fabric dyeing. And then the garden in the back.
Oh, that sounds kind of like a dream studio. And so people are listening right now and they're like, dry and wet. Like, so the dry studio is for your quilting and all your fabric work, and the wet studio is for dyeing and creating and all those messy processes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And then my husband, he runs the business with me and he is on the floor right above me. So we get to walk in, and our studio is about 5-minute walk from our house. So we get to just walk into to work every day, and it's so much fun.
Oh, nice. Okay. So what is your favorite time of day?
My favorite time of day. Oh my goodness. You're going to have to make me choose one. I mean, I love first thing in the morning. I don't set alarms unless, you know, need to go catch a plane or something, but my body will wake me up at like 6:30 or 7:00. And I go downstairs. I sneak out and try not to wake up my boys, and we'll go downstairs, make myself a cup of tea, and we'll light a candle, meditate, pray, like do all of the magical things, and like really get into this. Just, it's just a really like juicy, fun way to start the day. And I visualize what my day is going to bring. I picture it turning out just amazing and just assume that it's going to be the very best possible. And so, and yeah, journal, think about what's coming up. Yeah. So, I mean, that might be one of my favorite parts of the day. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it sounds like that answer to that question actually answered my next question, which is, what is the best thing that you do for your own self-care?
Yeah. That every single day, for sure. Yeah, that and making stuff. So there's been periods where I was, you know, typing all day long, you know, on the computer all day long, rather than actually making a quilt, where I would be a quilt teacher who just didn't quilt because I just got too busy. But really prioritizing actually making things was the difference between feeling depressed and glum and blah to just feeling inspired and joyful.
Yeah. And so if you had a day to yourself alone in your studio, no business work had to be done, you had no commitments, what would you do?
Ooh. Well, I do this regularly. I now really prioritize this for myself. So I would probably put a dye pot on, throw something in there, and, you know, go back and tend to it throughout the day and continue on whatever project I'm working on. And so that might be, you know, printing off a new design and working, you know, I have this giant rose sitting right next to me right now. So I would be then either sewing that, I'm going to play with some reverse applique with it. And so it would just be kind of playing and experimenting with whatever project is currently in my head that I'm excited about, while also bouncing back and forth from the wet studio as well.
Yeah. I feel like you can read my mind. You're giving me these fabulous double answers. So what is on your design wall right now?
A giant rose. It's actually on my ironing board right now because I just ironed it, ironed the applique piece. So I make the applique piece separate and then I'll put it on the background. So it's using the same technique that I talked about, the portrait quilting technique that I made the portrait of my grandmother, but then I did it with this giant rose. So it looks 3D. I'm using value, dark to light, and all the fabrics are ones that I dyed. So it's pinks and reds and everything. And so that's been just a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of silks. I've been playing with a lot of different silks and silk blends, and the background is a raw silk that is just like, I just want to just stroke it all day long. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Okay. So we've talked about a few things you offer in your business already, but I really want to get into the Meander Quilt Guild. So what's the sort of core, what's your philosophy behind that?
Yeah. I mean, it goes along with the core philosophy that every single person is an artist. I believe too that every quilter, every maker can grow and develop their own unique style, their own unique quilt making style, and do so while exploring lots of different fun quilt making styles from around the world next to other quilters from all around the world. And so that's what we do in Meander. I founded it back in 2018. And so we're now over 2,000 members from all over the world. And it's just so much fun.
Yeah. So it's a monthly membership. And tell us about some of the things that are included when you sign up.
Whole lot. So we have all of the signature programs that I've developed, scrappy applique, Color Confidence for Quilters, a whole color curriculum that was such a joy to create and develop to really help quilters specifically go from maybe unsure, a little bit insecure around color to being very confident to mix and match anything in their stash. So that whole curriculum is in there. The portrait quilting workshop that I spoke about, the whole natural fabric dyeing curriculum, as well as a bunch of other ones. We have a bunch of quilt making styles from around the world. So not only like English paper piecing and broidery purse, some that you may be familiar with, but also, and sashiko, but also like Raleigh and Kantha and Molas and Teveve, these styles from around the world that you may have never heard about. That's a lot of fun to explore. We have guest teachers. We've had a bunch of guest teachers come in. So we have a whole free motion quilting curriculum. We have a bunch of paper piecing classes and a lot of classes on design and creativity. So it's just a wealth. And then we have a live guild meeting every month. We have a downloadable pattern either a pattern or some kind of goodie to be able to download every month, and live workshops. So always new stuff coming, as well as the whole library that you have access to.
Yeah. So it's a huge library of all kinds of workshops. And the minute you sign up, you have access to everything, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. And I think I also saw somewhere on your website that you have included in that is sort of a monthly or twice a month sit and sew.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great then opportunity to connect then with the community. You show up on Zoom with a project and chat, visit, ask for feedback, or just talk about sewing and share what you're working on. And it's just a fun time to connect.
Yeah. So sometimes in the podcast, I try to imagine what would the podcast listeners want to ask Shannon Brinkley? And I think if there's one question, it would probably be like, what would be your top tip for either quilters launching a biz or quilters searching out their own creative thing?
Yes. And that would be to look outside of the quilt industry for inspiration. I think so much that we see in the quilt world, we see a lot of similar things because we love quilting and we love following all of these different quilters and we get inspired by one another. And that's a beautiful thing. And the result can be a lot of quilts that look the same.
Yeah.
However, when we look outside of the quilt industry for our inspiration and bring in your love for French Impressionism or your love for, I don't know, anime or Mozart or architecture or whatever it is, you bring in all of the different things that make you, the random loves and interests, and then weave that into, think about, okay, I love, postmodern art. How could I combine that with applique? How could I combine my love of like the Zen doodle people with piecing? What would that look like? What would it look like if I combined my love of Anne of Green Gables with, a quilting motif? What could that possibly look like? And so really bringing in inspiration from outside of the quilt world is going to help your work not only look and become more you, it's going to then look so much more unique, which will, one, just be satisfying as a maker. And then if you're wanting to be a business owner, that's going to help your work stand out.
Yeah, that is such a great tip. Okay, so are there any we knew this was coming. I'm really excited about this part. I wanted to talk to you about this for quite some time. What is the big news coming up with Shannon Brinkley Designs?
Okay, do we have a drum roll? A drum roll.
My ring is hitting
the table. I'm just joking. We're all imagining a drum roll. We're imagining curtains opening. We, in the spring of 2024, we are launching the Art School for Makers. This has been a project that I've been thinking about and journaling about and imagining and dreaming into creation now for a while. And I am so excited about it. It's going to be a proper art school for makers, for quilters, for, we're starting focusing on quilting, but then we're going to be bringing in other media as well. So weaving, crocheting, knitting, things like that, but really helping people who see themselves as makers, who want to grow as an artist, want to really elevate from crafter to that of an artist. We have then a full guided curriculum that is going to help you to do that, to not only learn all about color, all about design, become really fluent in your own specific techniques, but to learn how to get the ideas that are in your head out and into the 3D world in a way that just makes your soul so happy.
Yeah. Well, this sounds really exciting. So this will be rolling out in mid-March. And if people sign up for this right away, they'll be considered founding students, right? So what does that mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, they'll be founding students. They will help to shape the curriculum moving forward and be a part of this just exciting, fun, cool club that we're starting here. And those who are just kind of curious and want to learn more, we are offering a live free class called Audacious Art that is starting in March 12th. So you can sign up for that on my website.
Okay. And make sure you get on the newsletter so you hear the latest about that. You get the reminders, you get all the good.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now it's time for the lightning round robin. It's a series of rapid fire questions and it's super fun. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you have any kind of annual creative escape?
I don't, but I want to. Okay. Let's pretend that I do. Okay. I escape to France once a year and I go in the countryside and I pick flowers from outside and dye yarn and weave with all of the local artists around town. Once a year I do it and brush up on my French.
Yes. Let's put it out to the universe and then it will happen, right?
It's happening.
Do you have any kind of personal reward system for getting things done?
I don't know if I would call it a reward system. I prioritize self-care. So I try to have some kind of bit of self-care, whether it's just like a delicious bath or going to get a pedicure or something like that weekly. And I think really making your life as joyful and juicy as possible then helps you to be so much more productive. So that?
Yeah, I think self-care is a great personal reward. And it actually is like the chicken and egg thing. Like the more you self-care, the more your life is rewarding. And yeah, it's all good.
Totally.
What motivates you to get out of bed in the morning?
I mean, each morning before I actually get out of bed, I do that visualization that I was sharing with you. And I visualize and picture the day ahead, just like Michael Phelps before he is going to jump in to do laps. He's visualizing it going perfectly. I visualize how beautiful my day is, how filled with love, how many like hugs from Jack, and like how creative I can feel and inspired. And so that visualization of just the most awesome day, and then it often happens, is just a really fun and easy way to get out of bed.
Yeah, that's great. And what is a creative skill you'd still love to learn?
So many things. I'm really curious, not like strongly curious, but like a little bit curious about weaving right now. And so I just bought like a bunch of different weaving books. And so I'm like kind of tinkering with that. I'm visualizing how I can incorporate it too into quilts. I already actually have like a whole series in my head that incorporates weaving as well, even though I don't even know how to set up a loom, you know? But yeah.
Okay. Have you had any weird, crazy, or funny fan moments?
I mean, there's been a few just sweet ones. Like one, someone was driving by and like waved out the window at me and I didn't know who they were. And they later on told me, I saw you on the street. Once I was long arming one of my quilts and someone said, oh, that looks like, is that a Shannon Brinkley quilt? And I was like, yes, I'm Shannon Brinkley. And they're like, oh, I thought it was your pattern. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. Has there been a mentor in the quilting world who's really influenced you along the way?
Yeah. Angela Walters, with her just incredible generosity at the beginning, really helped point me in the right direction to start growing my business and really help me to get a lot. I remember the first quilt market that I went to, we like met up and she just helped like walk the floor with me and helped introduce me to people and was just helped to gain a lot of confidence. She introduced me to my first, the fabric company that I worked with, that I did my first collection with. And so yeah, definitely Angela.
Yeah, super sweet. Okay, do you have any favorite collections of things in your home?
Molas. My great-grandfather, my grandmama's dad, was a cottonseed oil expert or something. He like traveled around the world and helped people growing cottonseed oil. I don't know. But he then traveled and collected so many interesting things, one of which were molas by the Guna people in the San Blas Islands off of Panama. And they're these incredibly intricate reverse applique designs that I grew up seeing and didn't know what they were until I went and visited my grandmother when she was in hospice and saw them on the wall and realized, oh my gosh, this is a mola. And so after she passed, I then inherited them. So those are special. I have 4 of them hanging on my wall.
Oh, so meaningful. Okay. What is your proudest accomplishment?
My son, Jack. I'm just so wildly, deeply in love with this little tiny human. I just can't even handle it.
Yeah, that is such an accomplishment. Bringing a little one into the world is a huge deal. I think people know that.
But it's okay, a huge deal.
It's a huge deal. Do you have any furry friends in the studio? You mentioned this already, but do you have any furry friends in your studio?
I do right now. Her name's Maggie, and she's just the sweetest. She's a little blue heeler pup she acts like a puppy. She's 8. She's an 8-year-old. She's a woman pup, but she acts like just a little puppy. She's real sweet.
Oh, how adorable.
And she sits in that bay window and people walk by on the streets constantly like looking in at this cute little doggy in the window.
Okay. Well, thank you for braving the lightning round, Robin. That was fun. So I've mentioned your website a couple of times at shannon-brinkley.com. And Brinkley is B-R-I-N-K-L-E-Y, where we can find everything we talked about today. But where's the best place for quilters to connect with you on social media?
Instagram, both Instagram and Facebook. You can find me at Shannon E. Brinkley. And that's the place.
Okay. And now as we wrap up, what do you want quilters to take away most from our conversation today?
I want quilters to take away that whether you totally believe me or not, there is an artist inside of you. Because you are a human, you are an artist. And also really understanding that this craft that we love is and can be absolutely an art form, and recognizing the just beauty of how we are connected to all of the quilters, the makers who came before us and who passed this down generation to generation, hand to hand, and how us adding our own stitch to that continual thread is an honor and such a beautiful and powerful thing. And don't underestimate that.
Yeah, we are so creative inside. What a great way to end the podcast. Shannon, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thanks so much. This was so much fun.
So that was my show with Shannon Brinkley. One thing that delighted me is her purpose to help quilters make their way in this big, big quilting world, because there are big pieces of the pie to be had, especially in business. One thing that she does that I like is she has a tight, clean business with a clear website, so you know exactly what she offers and you can pick exactly what works for you, from patterns and workshops to the Meander Guild, and of course the exciting things she has coming up with the Art School for Makers. Today I loved hearing all about Shannon's story and sharing it with you. Do you want to help make the Quilter on Fire podcast even better? Leave a review on your podcast app. Tell me what's helping you, what's inspiring you, what you want to hear more of, or what would put an extra smile on your face while you're quilting. Seriously, I want to know. So please leave that review. I can't wait to hear from you. The Japan Textile Tour with the Quilter on Fire is a go. Travelers are now booking their flights, and we start our tour from Tokyo to Kyoto on May 19th, 2024. There are a few spots left, so if you need to check Japan off your bucket list, call Judy from Opulent Quilt Journeys at 1-877-235-3767 to book your trip today. Thank you for listening to the Quilter on Fire podcast. Until next time, dream big and have fun in the studio with the Quilter on Fire.